Wisconsin are.
The Marathon County Labor Council is allowing Republicans to march in the Labor Day parade in Wausau after all. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 30th. The president of the Marathon County Labor Council, Randy Radke, issued a statement today that says, in part, "We didn't start this fight in Wisconsin, but we're responding to anti-worker positions and policies supported by local Republican politicians, including those who complained about not being invited. With the track records of Pam Galloway, Sean Duffy, Scott Walker, and Jerry Petrowski have put together this year, they should be ashamed to even show their faces at a Labor Day parade. Just like we hoped, our decision has stimulated a great debate in our community about the meaning of Labor Day. But because we don't want to wind up having community groups and school bands affected in the process, we will let everyone march and hope these Republican politicians finally take away some lessons about what Labor Day really means." We will debate this issue in today's Big Question segment. We have two guests from different perspectives who we lined up when the decision was from the Labor Council to exclude Republicans from the Labor Day parade. But we can still talk about this, even with this breaking news. The big question will be, and it is online, the Marathon County Labor Council is now allowing Republicans to march in its Labor Day parade in Wausau. The council had originally said it was excluding them due to their support of Wisconsin's collective bargaining law. Do you think it was appropriate to exclude Republicans from participating in the parade? Yes or no? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can tweet us on Twitter, at Joy Cardine Show. And while you're online, you can vote in this online poll, and that's located on our website, and we have a link to it on our Facebook page. What do you think about all this? Was this appropriate or not from the beginning? Yes or no, and why or why not? We have two guests with us. Christine Bremer-Moogley is an attorney with Bremer and Trollop Law Offices in Wausau, a delegate to the 2008 Democratic National Convention. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And Keene Winters is with us. He's a financial planner from Schofield, and he is coordinator of the Center-Right Coalition of Wausau. Good morning to you.
Hello, Joy.
Well, thanks to both of you for joining us. Things are a little bit different this morning than they were yesterday. Let me just ask you, first, Keene Winters, what's your reaction to the change of heart of the Marathon County Labor Council? It has reversed the decision and will allow Republicans to march in the Labor Day parade.
I think that's welcome news. I always thought that they were on shaky ground. If we think about it, for 41 years, we had Congressman Dave Obey in Wausau, and for 41 years, he marched in Labor Day parades with Republicans. If you think about the assertion that the Labor Council was making, that essentially they own the parade and own the day, I thought was really a piece of silly semantic games. We don't ever assert that the King family owns Martin Luther King Day or that African Americans own that. In Wausau, we've had the 4th of July celebration sponsored by the JCs since the end of World War II. We don't let them exclude the Elks or the Rotary from that. So the notion that the Labor Council could exclude people really was and was a very troubling assertion, and I think we still need to talk about that and the implications of that kind of thinking today on the radio.
Yeah, we will. Christine Bremer-Moogley, your thoughts on this change of heart?
Well, Joy, you know, it was quite a
time for us, hearing what the Labor Council had done. And I think that the action of Randy Radke, who is a very hardworking guy, I think he's working 12-hour shifts right now, so he can't even listen to us on the radio this morning, showed the strong emotion of the people who are involved in the labor movement in the state. And I think, Keene, you're absolutely right. For 41 years, Dave Obey marched with Republicans because for 41 years, we've had labor peace in our state, and we've had recognition of the value of collective bargaining for our public workers. And it wasn't until Scott Walker came in with his radical agenda to take away those rights that we've had these kinds of emotions and that this kind of division in our state. So it's been very difficult for everyone. And I think even our local newspaper reported how, although they recognized the right of labor to do this, it was difficult and it would be better for all of us if we could work together. No one disputes that. And I think what Randy's statement, his, I think, very measured statement this morning, which I read when I got up this morning early, really reflects that he took some time and the labor leaders in our county took some time to think about this and saw that it could cause more division and they didn't want collateral damage for, you know, the school districts who have to make these decisions to allow their band members to come and the VFW and others who don't want to be part of a partisan divide, but who also would recognize, you know, the difficulties with these decisions for our public workers. So, you know, it's a difficult time for all of us, and I guess this decision brings us back to full circle. What does Labor Day really mean?
Yeah, and Keene Winters, why, given what happened in Wisconsin this year, why would Republican lawmakers who supported the restrictions on collective bargaining want to march in a Labor Day parade?
Well, I think the key issue is that we have differing opinions. So I would certainly take exception to Christine's characterization that Scott Walker has a radical agenda. The changes to Wisconsin law put us square in the middle of the 50 states in terms of how they regulate labor and public unions. We're certainly not the first. There's like 25 states that don't allow public unions at all. So, and there's real question on whether public unions serve a value or whether they are just negotiating with the taxpayers and then also create an imbalance by intervening in the electoral process. So, and there's also some mounting statistical evidence to show that Walker's reforms are working. Last night on Channel 9 in Wausau, a story ran that, lo and behold, hundreds of new teachers are going to be hired in central Wisconsin, and they interviewed administrators from Merrill, Thorpe, and Mosinee about how the new flexibility has allowed them to add teachers this year. So I think unions have been done a favor, and the characterization that's being put on this is all wrong. But more importantly, Randy Radke's actions laid really bare the culture of labor, and that is zero tolerance for dissent.
I'm going to welcome in a special caller a little bit earlier than I normally would, and I'm told that Dave Obey is on the line. Really? Is this Dave Obey?
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you for calling. What is it that you'd like to say?
I just heard Mr. Winters use my name in vain, making the point that I had marched for 41 years in the Labor Day Parade with Republicans. Republicans had nothing to do with that. I marched with labor in their parade for 41 years because we were honoring the tradition of labor and the place of labor in this society. Frankly, I think the issue is not the conduct of the central labor body. The issue is that you've had a number of Republican politicians try to have it both ways. They vote against the needs of average working people, and then they smile and march in a parade and try to pretend that they belong there. The problem you have, in my view, is that the meaning of Labor Day has been diluted just like the meaning of Christmas often has. I mean, Christmas is supposed to be the celebration of the birth of Christ. Instead, we hear people saying 20 shopping days until Christmas. And the same thing has happened with Labor Day, and it's been devalued in the process. what Labor Day is about is celebrating and honoring the place labor and work has in this society. After all, people died to establish bargaining rights for workers, and the parade honors that tradition and people who made that sacrifice. It just seems to me that that the issue is the hypocrisy of politicians who vote to curtail those worker rights and then show up and smile and act as though nothing has happened. So I can understand the emotional reaction of the Labor Council. I'm pleased that they stepped back and recognized that there would be innocent bystanders who would inadvertently be hurt by their initial decision. But I think the question is not how could the central labor body make that choice initially. The issue is what on earth would lead these three Republican politicians to want to show up at all after they had taken positions that are totally counter to the meaning and the purpose of the march in the first place.
Congressman Obie, I thank you for calling in, and I wonder, Keene Winters, what your response is to that.
Well, I would respond in a couple of ways, and help. Maybe I can give Congressman Obie some insight to what people on the other side are thinking. You know, I joined the WASA West Young Republicans more than 30 years ago, so it's been a while, and in the course of that time, I've had an opportunity to have friends who are Republicans, some who have been teachers, some who have worked for government, and some who have worked in other occupations where they're in union closed shops. This is an example of the kind of harassment that they face every day. Their views are marginalized, labeled as anti-labor, and in some cases, they're just outright harassed. And so it's a culture of zero tolerance for dissent. I think when Congressman Obie speaks, he really mixes metaphors. There's nothing that the Republicans did nor want to do that will curtail labor in the private sector. And that's a whole different kettle of fish. I understand in the 19th century that labor was important for low-skill, low-educated people to have a competitive chance in the private sector. But in the private sector, you also have forces which really compel labor and management to come to terms. It wasn't until 1959 that Governor Nelson allowed public employee unions to organize. And that's a whole different kettle of fish, because they're not bargaining with robber barons. They're bargaining against the taxpayers. And they're stacking the deck by intervening in the election and getting the people who are sitting supposed to represent the taxpayers to be actually representing labor. And then they control both sides of the table and the taxpayers suffer. But I'd also assert beyond that that many people in labor unions have suffered. I'll give you a...
Wait, before we go into... I'm sorry, we will have time throughout the hour, but I want to... we have a break coming up, and Christine Bremer-Moogley is also with us, and I wonder, Christine, what your reaction to Dave Obie's statement.
Oh, it's great to hear Dave is listening this morning, Joy, and is obviously continuing his great interest with the people of Marathon County and the people who are laborers in our area. I guess I would have to say that I agree with Dave. The issue is, what are the Republicans going to say to the laborers who have really put forward the rights of all of the workers of the state of Wisconsin? Throughout history, it's been the labor movement that has not only helped the public workers, but all workers in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin has been, you know, historically the leader in the labor movement across our nation. And so when we talk about, you know, when Keene, you talk about how it's unfair that government workers have the right to collectively bargain, I mean, there was, in 1955, there was a study done by the American Bar Association which said, how can government impose an obligation on employers in the private sector under, you know, the National Labor Relations Act and not give these same rights to the public sector? And it was at that point, in 1959, that Governor Nelson first went ahead and was the first state in the nation to give collective bargaining rights to our workers. And it was then that, you know, we really recognized that our public employees, you know, give us so much, and they give so much to make our state better, that we have to recognize their rights as well. So, you know, I don't think that we should sit here and bash public workers, as we've done so much in this debate that has divided our state. Instead, we should recognize that all workers have rights, and we should not take away the rights of the public sector workers or say that they aren't deserving of these rights, because I think the majority of people believe they do, and everyone is sick of this divisiveness, and we need to now come together and say, what's the future going to be for our workers in Wisconsin?
Christine Bremer-Moogly is an attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau. Also with us today, Keen Winters, financial planner from Schofield, coordinator of the Center-Right Coalition of Wausau. And we just heard from a surprise caller, Congressman Dave Obie, called in with his response to this issue. The Marathon County Labor Council had originally excluded Republican politicians from marching in the annual Labor Day parade in Wausau due to their support of the anti-collective bargaining measures passed in the state this year. But late yesterday or this morning, the Labor Council reversed its decision and said that Republicans would be allowed to march in the parade after all. So we're talking about this issue, and you're welcome to join us as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Scattered showers this morning in northern Wisconsin, along with some fog in western and central Wisconsin. Otherwise, expect a partly to mostly cloudy day, with highs today in the upper 60s in the north to the lower 80s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Glad to have you with us for today's big question. Big question today. Do you think it was appropriate for the Marathon County Labor Council to originally exclude Republicans from participating in the Labor Day parade in Wausau? The Labor Council has changed its position, and now Republicans will be allowed to march. And we have many callers. Let me take one call before our news break. Robert in Janesville. Hello, Robert.
Hi. I have something to say that might be a little.
Go ahead and say it. That's okay, Robert.
Yeah.
But don't do it, just so you don't swear.
Yeah. Well, I believe that the parade shouldn't, the holiday, in fact, shouldn't even be about either party. It should be about the workers. And, you know, a holiday should be a day where people can step back, set aside their political differences, and celebrate something. You know, Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ, like your previous caller said, and it shouldn't be about a political party. And I'm glad that they opened the parade up to Republicans, because it shows one more step towards just, you know, getting together, setting aside your differences, and, you know, treating each other like human beings.
Well, Christine Bremer-Moogly, what about that? This shouldn't be about parties, and this is a step toward working together on these issues.
I agree with Robert. I think it is a step toward working together with the Republicans. I think that what you have to remember, though, is, you know, and I think what the action of Marathon County Labor Council reflects is how strongly the teachers and the other public workers feel that they have been victimized and have been made political fodder, so that it made what the administration did, the Walker administration did with its opening conduct in the budget shortfall bill, was to really make them the scapegoats for the whole economic downturn, for the recession, and for all the problems that the state was having with regard to its deficits. And so teachers in particular, it seems to me, and other public workers, and I've heard these people comment on your show even, Joy, that, you know, they're the ones that are the problem, and they don't work hard, and they have Cadillac plans when they don't give Cadillac work. And so the teachers and the others whom we value have become devalued. And those feelings and those sentiments are reflected in this action. So I think that what we all need to do is take a step back and say, boy, there has really been some harm. And the Labor Council's actions really reflect that. And now we have to say, why did that happen? And what can we do to come together? So I think that the Labor Council would welcome, and they've said this, any legislator who would support fairness with regard to dealing with laborers in this state, because it's not just public labor that we're worried about. I think that what it is, the concern is that it's a short step to trying to devalue unions generally across our state and across our nation. Yeah. And so it's not just this step, it's what's going to happen next that's important, and that's what's been, the light has been shown on here.
Yeah. Keene Winters, we just have a minute before a news break. A start from you on what can we do to come together on this?
Well, I think we have to agree to disagree peaceably, and I take exception to the characterization that these actions have from Governor Walker have been anti-labor. For example, recertification votes are great for union members because they allow them to compel their leadership to be more responsive to their needs. Ending the monopoly that the WEA Trust had on teacher health insurance is, in fact, meaning that we can get lower-cost health insurance, and, in fact, seeing this fall, many more teachers hired. That's good for teachers. So these things are certainly good, arguably good for labor, and although I disagree with Christine, and I'm sure she disagrees with me, I shouldn't have to be labeled anti-labor. We all want America to be a better place and to have good things happen for labor and us to be a more competitive society in the 21st century.
We will continue our big question debate after we check the latest news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Christine Bremer-Moogley and Keene Winters, and this is the Ideas Network. Should Republican politicians who supported Governor Walker's restrictions on collective bargaining be excluded from Wausau's Labor Day parade? Or should they be included? It's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is now 7:36 on this Wednesday, August the 30th. The Marathon County Labor Council, a coalition of about 30 local unions, organizes the Labor Day Parade in Wausau each year, and typically Republican office holders have been a part of it. But this year, Republicans who supported Governor Walker's collective bargaining restrictions were told they were not welcome to march in the parade. And that caused a bit of an uproar. And the Wausau, or the Marathon County Labor Council, did change its position today and says that Republican lawmakers can participate if they choose. Randy Radke, council president, released this statement today. We have had countless offers from across our area pour in to help pay for parade costs, and while we thank everyone for your generosity, we urge you instead to use it to support charities that are helping working class people who may be laid off or struggling due to this difficult economy. Just as we hoped, our decision has stimulated a great debate in our community about the meaning of Labor Day. So that's what we're debating this issue this hour with two guests, and both of them are reacting to what the Marathon County Labor Council decided to do after all, and the meaning of Labor Day. Christine Bremer-Moogley is an attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau, a delegate to the 2008 Democratic National Convention. And Keene Winters is a financial planner from Schofield and coordinator of the Center-Right Coalition of Wausau. We did in our first half hour have a surprise caller. Congressman Dave Obey called in with his reaction to this issue, to this decision. We did, just for matters of fairness, also send out an invitation to Congressman Sean Duffy's people to see if he would like to react. He was one of the lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, who wanted to march in the parade but was originally told no. Of course, now that's been changed, and we have not heard back from them yet. Let's go back to the phones. Adam in Presque Isle is with us next. Hello, Adam.
How are you?
I'm good. What do you think of this?
Well, I would just like to support the efforts or the support the decision to let the Republicans march in the parade. I think Labor Day should be focused around all workers in the state, not just of the public sector, but the private sector also, because I own a business in northern Wisconsin, and we do employ 42 employees. And if some changes aren't made in the future, we won't be around much longer. And I do know of quite a few other private businesses in our area that will not be around. So I support the decision. I understand the views of the workers in the public sector and what they're going through. But I think everybody needs to feel some pain in this situation to dig ourselves out of this hole.
Yeah, what kind of changes do you need, Adam, in order to stick around?
Well, just the overall economic stability of our state is in jeopardy, and I believe balancing the budget should be put on the top of the poll, and that should be what we focus on, and I think that's what Governor Walker is trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And Keene Winters?
Well, I agree with the caller.
Yeah, and Christine Bremer-Moogley?
Well, I appreciate Adam's call. I also obviously live up north, and I understand the difficulties of private business. I'm a small business owner myself. But I think that when we look at how a budget is balanced, we have to make some decisions as a state as to where it's important. And I think, Adam, you have to recognize that the laborers and the public sector workers did concede what the governor had asked for with regard to money. They did agree to a 8% over the, 8% decrease in their take-home pay, which is a lot. If you make $28,000 as a clerical worker for the government and you lose 8% of your pay, that's a lot of money. I mean, I know people in Wausau, firefighters and teachers who are losing $400 or $500 a month take-home pay in concessions that recognize the difficulties of the state. But now we have to say, what's next? And the big thing, and I think that what I'd like to respond to, Joy, also is the comment that Keene made with regard to this issue of recertification of unions, because what the governor did wasn't just about money. It was about taking all the rights away from unions. I don't think people necessarily understand what's required for the recertification under the Walker bill, because what it requires is that 51% of everyone in the bargaining unit has to agree every year to recertify a union, and that has to be done at the beginning of the year when people are just getting back to school. For teachers and for others, it's very difficult for them to do so. So it would be like saying for all registered voters in Wisconsin, you don't win an election unless you get the majority of all registered voters in Wisconsin, not just those who voted. And that's really a standard that's almost impossible to meet. Mm-hmm. And so it voids what law we did have in Wisconsin, which was if 30% of the workers petitioned to decertify, then there would be an election based on majority vote. This new law really makes unions almost impossible for them to go forward. That's why unions are recognizing that decertification will happen in certain places. So, we have to look at what we're talking about. And Adam is right. The budget is important. And the union workers did recognize that and did concede to budget to salary decreases, very substantial ones. But now beyond that, why are we taking away all the possibilities for them to even unionize? And that's why the hard feelings are there.
Mm-hmm. And Keene Winters?
Well, I would disagree with that, certainly. And the key thing that the Walker bill did was increase flexibility and require accountability on the part of unions. Just think about what Christine is saying for a moment, that it's unfortunate that unions can't continue when the workers who are in them don't support them. Workers should have a choice on whether their unions continue or not. For many years, I've been in community service organizations. We have to get our members to renew every year, every single one of them. And if they don't renew, then we're out of luck. But we have to serve our members, and accountability is very important. I think for a long time in this state, WEA Trust had a virtual monopoly on the health care, providing health care to teachers, At one point, they had as much as 70% of the market because they required school districts to get their health insurance from the WEA Trust, the union's own in-house insurance company, as a matter of collective bargaining. They couldn't go on the outside. That's cost jobs. That's cost salaries for teachers. And teachers now have a chance to say, hey, get me some better insurance. Give me the same insurance for a cheaper price and get me more salary or get me more colleagues or let's do more for kids. And they have a choice. And how giving workers more choice and school districts more flexibility is a problem, I don't see it. But more
I guess I'd like to respond to that, Joy, because the issue isn't now is even less choice, because the teachers have no right to collectively bargain for benefits. They have no right to collectively bargain for their for the way that they are working. New Berlin School Board, as I understand it, passed a manual without any teacher input. So they have almost no rights to collectively bargain on anything any longer. And I think that what we're talking about isn't giving them more rights, but giving them less. I was a member of the WASA School Board for 9 years, and I can tell you that the WASA School District didn't have WEA Trust for its health insurance benefits. So, Keene, I don't know what you're talking about, a monopoly. Maybe in the past, but for at least the last 15 years, there hasn't been a monopoly in WASA, and there hasn't been a WEA Trust required in our school district. You know, I think also, Joy, it's very important to talk about this fallacy with regard to more teachers being hired. More teachers are being hired because teachers retired en masse last year. In Madison alone, 134 teachers retired in 2011. The number of teacher retirements is up substantially. That's why they're seeing more new faces. And the other issue is with regard to, you know, where they are right now, a lot of the school districts are still under the contract from before the Walker administration took away these rights. So, you know, let's talk about what's real here. What's real here, there are no new faces because really great teachers retired because they saw what was coming. And we've lost that great pool. And so, yes, we've got some new faces, and that's terrific, but you have to also recognize what we've lost. And what we've lost is in relationship to what the Walker administration has done to devastate, you know, teachers and the way they feel about their work and the way they feel devalued.
Yeah.
And that's something we have to look at and we have to try to build off of now. We have a lot of work to do.
Let's go take another call. Ray in Milwaukee, you're next. Go ahead.
I have never felt this way till this year, and I've been a union member now 11 years in a private union in Milwaukee. But I would like to exclude them or heckle them, one or the other. But this is my reasoning. The Republicans have been behind this push in this country to drive our wages down and also to make corporations. I mean, they went to the Supreme Court and said, look, we want to treat corporations as if they are people. And they won that because they stacked the Supreme Court with conservatives. Now, this year, this collective bargaining for public workers, nobody has brought up the fact that Martin Luther King died the night before he was to march with the garbage workers in Memphis. And one of the big reasons for collective bargaining rights for public workers during the 50s and 60s was because a lot of public workers were African Americans, and they didn't have any unions. Okay?
Yeah. Ray,
so now we have totally wiped out their chance to have any unions, period.
All right. Thank you very much, Ray, for your call. And I just had to put Ray on hold. And Keene Winters, do you have a response to Ray is saying that this is more than just collective bargaining, though that's important.
Yeah, I think that's part of the hyperbole that we have constantly seen here, and we've gotten some of that from Christine today. The real scare tactics that are being used for people in unions. And I'll give you a couple examples. I had a client come to me and say, well, we have to contribute to our retirement, and I'm afraid it's not going to be tax deductible or pre-tax. I was at a union meeting. There was a legal representative from our union there. Someone asked the question, will the new money we pay in have to be pre-tax or not? The legal representative said he didn't know, but you should be worried about it. Well, that's unconscionable. And in the upper right-hand corner of every Wisconsin retirement statement, it says that the program is organized under 403B and 401A of the U.S. IRS code. Of course, it's going to be a pre-tax contribution. And for them to even pretend that there was a question about that when it's on everybody's statement is incredible. In terms of trying to reach now that union employees don't have their dues automatically taken but have to voluntarily set up a withdraw from their checking account, union representatives are going around telling teachers, and I've heard the story firsthand, you know what, if a child slips and falls and chips a tooth in your classroom, the school district's going to throw you to the wolves. The only person who will protect you who is the union. Again, complete unconscionable propaganda. We're all in this together. This is going to be a much more competitive 21st century than we've ever had. Middle classes are rising in China, Brazil, and India, and that's a good thing for the world. But it's just going to be a lot tougher out there. We're not going to have be able to just bowl other countries over. We have to be prepared for change if we want to preserve high wages in this country.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a thought on this, Christine?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting, McKean, that you'd say that I'm engaging in scare tactics when the comments you just made were directed at the same thing. I'm not engaging in scare tactics. I'm reflecting facts. And, you know, I think that when the Walker administration bets that the private sector will go ahead and say it's great to pick on the public sector and make them the scapegoats for all this, they're trying a tactic that really is backfiring. And when labor unions, and that's what we're talking about this morning, such as the people in Marathon County who have said, you know, we're just not going to put up with labor being the scapegoat for the budget deficits and the decisions of our legislators not to tax the rich or to give tax breaks to the wealthy. And we're not going to say the budget should be totally balanced on the backs of workers. You know, I think they have a right to say that. And you know, people may agree or may not agree with them coming forward with their position to say to the Republicans that, you know, we're just not going to take this and we're not going to play a false game and invite people who do not support labor to a Labor Day parade. You know, you may agree or not agree, but they have the right to say it. And I think, you know, it really is great that we can have this debate this morning. And I thank you, Joy, for giving us that opportunity because it makes us all remember what Labor Day is really about and what Dave Obey said. You know, in 1986, seven people were killed in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because they were peacefully demonstrating for an eight-hour workday. And that's where it began. And you know, that's what we're here to celebrate, Labor Day. And it started with labor union in New York in 1882. And, you know, we can talk about what's right or what's wrong or where our budget deficits are now, but most of the labor laws that were put into effect during the Depression so that laborers who saw they had no rights whatsoever were given some rights. And so now we say, okay, on Labor Day we come together, we celebrate working people. We've all worked all our lives together, but Labor Day really started with the work of the labor unions to protect the workers of our country.
We have just a minute or so for both of you to present your concluding remarks during this big question debate. Let me start with you, Christine Bremer-Moogly. Is this a Labor Day to celebrate working people?
I think it absolutely is a Labor Day to celebrate working people more than ever. I think our state, once again, showed our leadership with regard to support of workers in the demonstrations that took place from working people in unions and out of unions, public sector, private sector. In March of this year, the largest demonstration of people ever before in the state of Wisconsin came to the Capitol in support of our public sector workers. So starting in the late 1880s and going forward with all the laws that we've celebrated in Wisconsin, workers' compensation, first in the nation, unemployment compensation, first in the nation, and 1959, when we first recognized the rights of public sector workers to collectively bargain, Wisconsin once again takes the lead, and I hope we can in the future.
And let me ask you, Keen Winters, to conclude answering the same basic question. Is this, do you think workers in Wisconsin have a reason to celebrate this year?
I think the important thing is that change is hard to grapple with. We all and we all very earnestly want higher wages in the future for everyone. We want balanced budgets in our government, and we have to work together to get those things. Now, we may disagree on the way to get there, but that doesn't mean that a bunch of guys sitting in a smoke-filled room can just simply label me as anti-labor and then blacklist me and ostracize me from the parade. That's not the route we need to go on. We need to talk about these issues and talk about the challenges we face in the 21st century earnestly. And we all want higher wages and better jobs for everyone in this country. We just disagree about how to get there.
Well, we're going to leave it there for now. I want to thank you, Keen Winters, a financial planner from Schofield, coordinator of the Center-Right Coalition of Wausau, for being with us today. And many thanks to Christine Bremer-Moogley as well, attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau, delegate to the 2008 Democratic National Convention. Both guests have been with us on our Friday Week in Review program, and I'm sure we will have them back sometime. Now it's your turn. You've heard both sides on today's big question, wondering if it was appropriate or not for the Marathon County Labor Council to originally exclude Republicans from participating in the Labor Day parade. It has changed its mind now, and Republicans will be allowed. But what do you think of this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can also vote online in our online poll, which is linked to Facebook and on wpr.org/joy. This is the Ideas Network. This is the sound-off portion of our big question debate. Do you think that Republicans should or should not be able to march in the Marathon County Labor Day Parade in Wausau this year? We'll give you 30 seconds to state your case. Tom in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Tom.
Hello. I think they should be allowed to march, but I don't know why they want to. Why do they want to march? That's my question.
All right. Well, we'll leave it rhetorical. Next to Stephen in Milwaukee. Hello, Stephen.
Yeah, your attorney, Christine, called the teachers victims. How are you a victim when you get 15 sick days a year? The real victims are the children in the inner city schools in Milwaukee who are getting horrible education. Also, the other thing, too, the fact that Dave Obey called in wasn't a coincidence. Christina used to work with him. Give me a break.
Well, Stephen, should Republicans march in the parade or not? All right. Pat in Brookfield, and by the way, whether she mentioned to him that she was going to be on the program and he was listening, I don't know. We did not arrange for Congressman Obey to call in. Let's put it that way. Wisconsin Public Radio did not. We're happy to hear from him, though, and as I mentioned, we did put out an invite to Sean Duffy if he'd like to react as well. Pat in Brookfield, go ahead.
Yeah, it's intimidation of speech, clear and simple, but not surprising based on some of the antics that we've seen recently at Milwaukee Bessemer at the State Fair Park. It's more of the same, and obviously there's been a backlash. They changed their mind, and I think the people are getting sick of these protesters. And frankly, if you disagree with the group, think of the unions, you're labeled a bad person. You're labeled, anti-labor and, frankly, anti-humanitarian, and I think it's wrong. On a side note, I think it's funny that Christina's defending people who are able to retire at 55 on a full pension fund when most of us have to work until the mid-60s.
All right. I don't think I'm not sure we're going to have time unless it's very, very quick. Alan in Mount Calvary, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's great that the labor organization will have the graciousness of letting them march in the parade. I mean, there's always room for two or three more at the table. Don't turn them away.
All right. Thank you very much. You can continue voting online, wpr.org/joy, and it's also linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, our online poll for the big question debate. So far, most of you do not think it was appropriate for labor to try to exclude Republicans from participating in the parade.